You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com. The biggest incentive for the Oilers to win should be that Stradwick gets his hair dyed orange. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, obviously not a great start for the Ducks or their goaltender. The fan shot, sure, you can say, hey, you don't like that, but you still got to stop it. And he didn't make any saves early on. Did you see anything mechanically or technically wrong with Gibson early in game six?
Well, honestly, I mean, technically and mechanically, you could say you see something wrong with John Gibson on a nightly basis, to be honest with you. I mean, that's not the strength of his game. And I thought Elliot Friedman had a really good piece leading into the game last night in Hockey Night in Canada, kind of, you know, breaking it down just how unique he is. He really is a guy who relies on feel and on reads. And when you talk to their goalie coach, Sudarshan Maharaj, he makes them at an elite level, to the point where Sudsy believes that if you were to try and make him too technical, too mechanical, you'd lose something. You'd lose parts of that innate ability to react and read that they believe makes John Gibson really good. Now, the downside of it is when the reads are off, it can look ugly, and it looked ugly last night. And, yeah, the fan goal, when you fan on a shot, that's a tough one. We've seen it happen to other guys in the playoffs here where a stick gets a piece as the guys, you know, the back-checking stick will hit the shaft as the guy's about to shoot, and it alters the shot. And to me, that's, again, that's the difference between reading and tracking to a certain degree. And Gibson actually tracks the puck really well off the release, but not very well at all in his movements. And so there's a tendency there to reach, to open up, and to open up holes. And if you look at it, is it a surprise that he was beaten along the ice? No, because 41% of the goals he gave up this season, 41% were along the ice. In a butterfly era where the whole style of goaltending is designed to take away the bottom of the ice, that's a really high number. And it's a sign of a guy who can be stretched out. And we talked about this going into the series. I mean, if you get him to open up, and because he reaches and opens holes, the five hole will be there. If you can get him to bite on a fake, if you can show one thing and deliver another as a shooter, like Zach Cassian did on his breakaway, he's going to open up. And the other part about the way he reaches is he tends to get overextended and kind of give himself no second moves when he's off. And that means you can stretch him out and go around him. I mean, how many times in this series have we seen him, you know, on his ass or spread out completely, head first diving, or even on a play where the puck didn't end up in the net last night, the two-pad stack. So, you know, in some ways, a lot of people say a goalie like that's tougher to read, tougher to break down because he does different things all the time. But there are still trends there that you can exploit. And opening him up with fakes and showing him one thing and delivering another off the release and stretching him out laterally are two things that cost him in that game. And, you know, if you're the Ducks, like, it's one of those tough ones. It's, you go back to him for sure, because as much as he's a guy who relies on feel, and generally speaking, you'd think those guys, once they lose the rhythm, once they lose the timing, they're going to be struggle to get it back. He's been remarkable, even within this series, within the same game, at kind of turning it around and giving up some stinkers, but coming back with great saves. And, you know, that's what you get with Gibson. And I guess when you add all those elements up at the end of the day, if it's a .926 save percentage in the regular season, you take the good with the bad. But last night we saw the bad. And if you're the Ducks, you're hoping you don't see that again in Game 7. If you're Oilers, you hope you do.
Well, definitely. And I like your explanation on the Cassian goal, because he basically did that little stutter step move and the five hole opened wide up. Wide open. And now, obviously, breakaways are pretty rare. So, Kevin, is there a way to do that outside of a breakaway? To like, is it going cross crease, or do you have to pass it? Can you do it individually if you're not on a breakaway to open up the goalie?
No, I mean, even a clean release. To me, a lot of the breakdowns you see are most applicable on the power play. Like, if you're going to set something up, where do we get most of our clean looks? Obviously, you can't plan for breakaways, but you can plan to, you know, generate movement and generate, you know, certain looks or hope to get certain looks on power plays. And, You know, again, showing one thing and delivering another on a guy who will reach and will open up is one way of doing it. The other part is, to be honest, there's an inefficiency in the movements that is hard to argue. And so on a power play, especially if you have an upfront presence that forces him to look around and try and find his way around a screen, if you put a lot of puck movement, even D to D, top of the point, and just say point to point, then down to the top of the circle and back up and across, with every move, with every movement of the puck, John Gibson gets behind, further and further behind. And we saw it in this series. There was even a point where one of the spectacular saves he made at the end of a power play, remember the one where he's exhausted by the end of it, where, you know, he basically just reached out and sprawled, and he was down and out in that situation. So there are different things you can do, and usually the ability to do so is you're at your best chance on the power play. And to me, the open look, kind of showing one thing and opening him up, even if it's delivering a cross ice pass instead of the fake element is key with Gibson. And then puck movement up top is the other one on the power play, because the inefficiencies in his movement will eventually put him behind and leave him sprawled out. Still has the ability to make those spectacular sprawled out saves, but I like my chances of scoring on a guy who's in the full splits a lot better than a guy who's set and square and in the butterfly and at the top of his crease.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, moving to the Nashville Predators, who the winner of Wednesday night will face, Pekka Rinne right now is playing lights out for the Pred. They don't score a whole bunch, but he's allowed, I think it's one goal or fewer in six of their games this season. Like, they're not giving up anything in Nashville. Is it Rinne? Is it the defense? What have you seen in Rinne? Because his playoffs seem to be much more consistent than his regular season was.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, as soon as you say there's something concrete in his game that's allowing him to be consistent, that's when you're almost guaranteed the next night out we're going to see that first blip. And inevitably, there's probably going to be one here along the way, and you wouldn't be surprised if it's to start the next round, especially if there's, you know, some time off here before it starts. Again, a guy who moves a little more, he's more technical than Gibson, but he's still very active in the net. And so anytime you move that much, again, you open up holes as a big guy. The two things I've seen are this is a team that's top four, doesn't give up a lot of really in tight HD chances, high danger chances as they're defined. And he's been good on the ones he's seen. That's where his save percentage over the years has fluctuated the most. And not surprisingly, because if you get him in scrambles, if you get him in tight, as a goalie that moves so much, again, at 6'5", you take up more space, but you have bigger holes that open up as you move from side to side, and that's been a problem for him. I do think that, you know, watching him in these playoffs so far, even though there's moments where it's been scrambly, this is the most controlled, calmest I've seen him play, and I think the UC Saros is in effect here. He watched a backup goalie who, for a stretch during the season, others were saying should be starting ahead of him, who is 5'11", I think, listed, might be 5'10" in reality, so giving up 7 inches to Pekka Rinne. And he watched this kid have a great season, playing rarely beyond the edge of his crease. And so for all the efforts that have gone in from goalie coaches in the past to sort of calm Pekka's game down a little bit, when you see a guy who's 7 inches smaller than you, making saves, playing less aggressively than you, I think it hit home a little bit. And for, you know, if that's the reason, or if it's combined with the work of goalie coach Ben Vanderklok, I do think this is the sort of most controlled we've seen Pekka Rinne, and I think that's probably why he's having success today. The other thing is, you know, we talked about this going into the series, the puck handling, right? I mean, look at the goal that clinches it in the empty net. That's a hard rim that's up on the dasherboard that he practically goes into a butterfly behind the net to stop and set up for his defenseman, and he ends up getting his third assist of the playoffs. And, you know, as much as it's about the Blues not doing a good enough job of keeping the puck away from him, he is the best in the league at stopping pucks behind his net. Sometimes it gets him in trouble because he goes back there to get pucks that nobody else in the league would even try up on the glass, and he does everything in his power to stop them. But it sets up Nashville's transition, and we've seen that with the 3 assists, 1 assist short of Berger's record for a single-season playoffs already. But it keeps him in the game. For a goalie who has always struggled mentally without when he's not busy, that puck handling keeps him in the game. And so the Blues' inability to sort of keep it away from him not only fed Nashville's transition and helped them get out of their own end clean, it fed Pekka's ability to stay in the game.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Fleury Holtby tonight and potentially Game 7 on Wednesday. Have you seen any improvements? Because Holtby early in this series wasn't playing, I think, up to the level that he was capable of. What tweaks have you seen maybe in Games 4 and 5?
You know, I'll be honest with you, it still doesn't look to me. I don't know that he's as far off as a lot of people have made out at times. And yet at the same time, just not the level that we're used to seeing from Braden Holtby. And frankly, that's been throughout the whole playoffs, not just this round. I mean, you know, a lot of people looked at Game 5 and 6 and in Toronto or against Toronto as turning points. I actually only saw signs of the Braden Holtby that won the Vezina last year in Game 6. I didn't see it in Game 5. I thought he just battled through. But to me, when I watch Braden Holtby, if he's dropping straight to the ice and reaching, not shifting and kind of moving into shots, moving into lanes, sliding into shots, sliding into tips, tracking plays laterally, if he's going straight down on everything, he's off. And there were better signs in the last game, but there were still also times where the default was straight down, and then he's got a panic and a little bit of goalie 9-1-1 or reaching to catch up to it. And so, to be perfectly honest, I'm not convinced that he has completely turned a corner. That's not to say he's not capable of taking the next step and getting back and shutting the Penguins out the rest of this series, but I haven't seen anything yet that tells me he's there. And the other thing is, you know, again, a lot of people have looked at the shot totals. There's no question that by most shot metrics, Washington is dominating this series, and it's basically been about Fleury's greatness and Holtby's struggles. But the one part that's not measured in most of those that we're seeing, you know, there's an analytics conference this weekend, talking to some other people that run private numbers first, you know, we call them the black box numbers, so private companies that sell this data to NHL teams, that slot line pass, that play where the puck crosses the middle of the ice below the top of the faceoff circles is something that the Penguins, according to Sports Logic, the Capitals, according to a Sports Logic tracking company, have given up more than any other team in the playoffs. And don't discount that. As much as Washington has dominated the shot chart, when you're giving up plays that force the goalie to completely change his angle from one side of the ice to the other side of the ice before a quick shot, that is the hardest play in my mind and in the mind of a lot of analysts that have looked at it in hockey for a goaltender to deal with. And Washington is still giving up too many of those. So as much as Holtby doesn't look like Holtby, what he's seen in front of him defensively and in terms of the attacks of the other team play a role in that. And let's be honest, the Penguins have made a lot of goalies, from Henrik Lundqvist last year to Sergei Bobrovsky in the first round of these playoffs, look like a lot less than they are to this point in the playoffs. And their ability to generate those plays, as well as the Capitals' inability to prevent them, is a part of that.
Kev, great stuff, man. We look forward. Hopefully we got a few game sevens on Wednesday night and maybe even one on Thursday if the Rangers can win tomorrow night. So I love game sevens. And all I know, the Predators, they'll be sitting at home patiently waiting to see who they face, either the Ducks or the Oilers. And they'll be on the in the West Coast somewhere, either on Friday or Saturday. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason.